Good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and continuar. magazine, July, August issue of Foreign Affairs, the official publication of the Council on Foreign Relations, which provides us, usually, the Secretary of State always comes from the Council on Foreign Relations as the head of the CIA, as the people who run our State Department, as the people who really control our nation, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, always come from there. The people who control our great foundations and great banks and certainly the great universities, they all come from the Council on Foreign Relations. So why would they have three articles in the July-August issue on the danger of avian flu? And then, well, just this morning, why the president, speaking in the Rose Garden, talked about, well, in case the avian flu epidemic sweeps America, we're going to have to bring in the military to help with our quarantine. And why are they doing this? This is an organized effort to control our reality, to focus our attention on something. But the question is, what? And with that as the background, Bill Sardi, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Talking about this subject, and of course it's changing daily, almost by the hour. The UN goes from saying 150 million people will die to 7.4 million. ABC News said, well, just 3 days ago, 1 billion people might die. And of course, what they are saying is, the kind of language they use in this is just absolutely incredible. It would make ghost towns out of parts of major cities, called the avian flu, and of course it would kill 1 billion people worldwide. And this kind of hype, the State Department chimed in on September the 30th by saying, the State Department doing talking about flu, but here they are talking about a dog flu that jumped from horses to dogs, and that we should be concerned as if, well, we might have to kill our own dog, put him to sleep, to save our own lives if this virus, flu virus, jumps from our dog to us. Of course, our dogs don't have any dangerous kind of flu, but here they are, of course, issuing this bulletin. The news press runs it blindly, and then, of course, last Friday, U.S. Congress votes for $4 billion of anti-flu drugs, mostly Tamiflu, this drug initially invented by Gilead Sciences. Donald Rumsfeld, former chief of Gilead, still holds stock in that company. It, of course, the drug is marketed by Roche in this country. And now we're reading reports of resistance against this drug. The flu is, well, prevailing over the drug anyway, but we're going to order $3 billion of it. And then Time Magazine says there's only one manufacturing plant anyway. There's no way that we can have enough of this drug. And it seems to be intentionally planned that way. You're mentioning the Council on Foreign Relations report. How did they get into this? They had a whole special edition in Foreign Affairs, July-August issue, and saying that, well, in short order, if this occurs, the global economy would shut down, the vaccine would have no impact on the course of the virus in the first months, would likely play an extremely limited role worldwide during the following 12 to 8 months of the pandemic. With today's limited production capacity, that means that less than 500 million people, or just 14% of the world's population, would be vaccinated. This isn't a vaccine, it's just a medicine, within a year of the pandemic. So 500 million, I've heard that number somewhere else. So, you know, they want to cull the population down to 500 million. Well, we've talked about that before, I think, Dr. Stan,
For our listeners out there who do not know where that figure comes from, there is in Elberton, Georgia, a great occult monument. It's a satanic monument. It was put up by people, nobody knows their names, who are part of a secret organization, and nobody knows the name of the organization. It's called the Georgia Guidestones, and they're inscribed in stone in eight different languages are the Ten Commandments, which come from the dark side. And the first one reads, maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Who put that there? Nobody knows. It just sort of, somebody put up the money. It was produced locally, but the origin of these ideas has always been a mystery, even to the people in Elberton, Georgia. So pick up the story there, Bill. Oh, just hold just a moment, because we're going to have to bring our other stations back on board as we begin asking the question, what is this really all about? And when you see the entire mechanism of the mass media being mobilized to once again form our tastes, suggest our ideas, and mold our minds, there is a reason behind it. And the question is, what is that reason? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is health journalist Bill Sardi, and we are talking about the background of this massive propaganda campaign that is designed to frighten us to death based upon the death of 61 or 62 people in Asia, talking about, oh, there's probably going to be a worldwide pandemic as this virulent organism spreads from bird to bird and then from bird to human being, and 61 people have died so far. And, you know, 61 people die on motor accidents in the United States every single day of the year. We don't, of course, create a fear over that, but they are designing this whole program, and especially when prominent people throughout the world are focusing our attention on that, with the World Health Organization, public health officials, State Department officials, certainly creating fear about this pandemic which is about to sweep the world. And I'm not saying that something wouldn't happen, because they have the capacity to genetically engineer diseases today. We know that. We've got the government reports, even talking about how they can create race-specific diseases to kill large numbers of people of specific races. But pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, certainly in this flu, hysteria that's now underway, and we have this misinformation campaign, and just to background the public, every year they do pick three strains of the flu to vaccinate us against. They put it in, they pick it a year beforehand. They haven't guessed right yet in the last few years. And of course, as we learn in this story, and I'm just reading according to a report in the Wisconsin State Journal, a nation's private flu vaccine industry continues to be vulnerable to the whims of the public. If companies make too much vaccine, they lose money. If they don't make enough, people protest. Yet many people refuse to get their shots unless flu hits hard, when it may be too late to develop protection, said Dennis Mackey of Infectious Disease Specialist, University of Wisconsin in Madison. We're going to get back to the University of Wisconsin in just a minute. The minute you announce there's a shortage of a vaccine, everybody wants it. Once you say you've got plenty, it's ho-hum, we don't want it. You see, it's all about money. It's not about public health. Each year, for the last few years, they've drummed up some sort of course, a flu scare in order to get us to line up. And that's what's happening all over the country, newspapers, television, line up for your flu shots. There's only about 96 million doses. The rest of the 280 million people, that'd be 180 million left, couldn't get the shots anyway. And, of course, they want to start this year with the young children. They said they did a study. The first people that hit the clinics and hospitals are the young children in a flu season, and they want to, of course, vaccinate the very young children. Now, this is unproven. We don't have any data on children under 5 years old, which is who they want to vaccinate. They're the most vulnerable. We don't have any adequate safety data on this, and yet they want to plow ahead. And, of course, there still is, regardless of what your doctor may tell you, there still is some mercury in the vaccine. Now, they'll say it's mercury-free, but all of the common ones, unless you ask for the brand Fluzone, as the mercury-free, totally free, there's still a trace of the mercury in the vaccine. They're going to give it to the very smaller children. The smaller the children you go, under five, their bodies are smaller, they have more of a chance of having a higher mercury load. So it doesn't matter if it's a trace.
But even in the adult, we know that from Dr. Fudenberg's work, that, you know, if you were foolish enough to take your vaccine shot between 60 and 65 years of age, three or four of them in 5 years, your incidence of Alzheimer's 10 years down the line goes up 1,000%. They know that, but they just can't figure out why the incidence of Alzheimer's disease is going up. Well, I'll tell you why it's going up. It's because older people are useless eaters, and they are giving them a toxic dose of mercury. And if it's toxic for an adult, what do you think it does to a six-month-old child? And why would you do something like that unintentionally?
We can understand the rapid growth of an infant from six, let's say, to age two, and there's a tremendous difference. We're going to go all the way down to a six-month-old, and, of course, that's very small to be giving any kind of mercury whatsoever. You'd be put in prison if you did this intentionally. And then, of course, we're telling you it's all a hype. question is there really a mutated virus out there? Where is it? Will it come from birds? Will it come from some mutation, from some virus that will sweep around the globe, usually starting in Southeast Asia? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and sitting down, that virus is in the United States. It's in a laboratory at the University of Wisconsin, at Madison, Wisconsin. And, of course, as we get to this developing story, late last November, they reported that they had taken this H5N1 flu virus. Now, this is the strain of virus that they believe caused the 1918 Spanish flu outbreak. And they've taken and made that, caused more mutations in it so that they could intentionally, well, I call it weaponize it, make it three times more virulent, and it would literally, we would have no immunity to it because we haven't been exposed to this strain of the flu, but now they've mutated it. And I've told the audience previously in the past, if we have a little selenium in our diet, it keeps the flu viruses from mutating. This one's already been engineered to be mutated. It would sweep around the globe. It fills your lungs with fluid. You'll have tremendous complications. You'll die of fluid on the lungs or pneumonia. So it could have a high death rate. Where is it? It's in the laboratory at the University of Wisconsin, where New Scientist magazine said late last year that it had lower biosecurity level of protection, the highest level of containment being level 4. They're only practicing level 3. It doesn't ensure that the staff doesn't get infected as that works there. That's the point. Now, the SARS virus, if you'll remember, escaped from a laboratory in China. So we all should be aware of this. And of course, you know, this is a level of concern that reached New Scientist magazine. It reached a number of scientists all over the world as they called this to attention, the mutated, the most virulent virus that we should be afraid of. Is in a laboratory. Could it escape? Could worker get it?
I think it's really very important for our listeners to remember that the first case of SARS was in a professor who worked in a medical school who was working on genetically engineered viruses. And then, of course, he spread that to travel and spread it, and that set off the whole SARS epidemic in China and Hong Kong, Southeast Asia, and there were a fair number of people who died in Canada. But we have to ask ourselves why the government set people up to dig up bodies, you know, up in the permafrost somewhere in the Arctic area, where there were bodies that were frozen left over from the great pandemic in 1918 and 1919, and brought that virus back to our laboratories, and then they have actually made it more virulent. I'm sure they can justify this, saying, well, we just want to see if this can happen. But I think it's so important for people, if you are out there in the listening audience, to know that there really are people who will create organisms for mass extermination. And if you doubt that at all, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Ask for Dr. MacArthur's testimony. We have it. We have the entire testimony. Dr. MacArthur, who worked for the Defense Department in 1969, testified before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Affairs. He wanted $10 million so they could create a new disease for which there'd be no immune response. And there were many people who thought that they shouldn't do this because it was a new means of mass killing, but they wanted to go ahead and do it anyway. And about a decade later, while we had the AIDS epidemic, if you doubt that that could possibly have taken place, we'd be glad to send you a copy of it. We have the entire government testimony, but we will send you just one or two pages from that testimony if you'd like it. And, of course, here we are now, 35 years later, they have the ability to create all sorts of new diseases. They can create race-specific diseases that can be used to actually eliminate certain racial groups. And if you doubt that, you go to newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. That is the website for the Project for the New American Century, a Project for the New American Century organized in 1997. By Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, Scooter Liddy, Elliot Abrams, Bill Bennett, Gary Bauer, and a number of other people. There were 25 of them who organized this group. And there's something there called Rebuilding America's Defenses. It's a 72-page report, and I believe it's on page 60, although don't hold me to that, where they talk about how really great it is that we now can create a new biological diseases that are be race-specific for biological warfare. There really are evil people out there, ladies and gentlemen, and you need to read what they say. Go to their website, newamericancentury.org. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, certainly we do have some startling statements here. We do have the news media cooperating with mindless news reports. We do have the public lining up for the flu shots, rolling up their sleeves. The flu vaccine doesn't arrive till October the 24th or so in that week. And, of course, it's then that many people have already reserved their place for their flu shots. They've already made reservations. You're going to see a massive hysteria to get this. And, of course, we're not going to have enough medicine. That's going to cause an issue, too, as people fall for this. And, of course, this Dr. Yoshihiro Kawaoka, who is the fellow at Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, who made this weaponized type of flu vaccine, says, "I don't want to make the general public panic, but sooner or later there'll be a mutant strain that has the ability to transmit among humans very well. It's just a matter of time."
But why make one in the laboratory? That's the question.
Well, we wonder, why are they almost wishing it would happen?
And, of course, the trouble is they're creating a mass hysteria. Are they preparing us for something that they know is going to happen? Or are they just trying to frighten us to death to take our attention off of other important things? It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. But in the case that they do intend to disseminate this virus, I think we're going to talk a little bit later about what you need to do to prepare yourself, because you're going to have to look after yourself. And I will tell you, quite frankly, I have no intention of taking their vaccines with toxic doses of mercury and getting Alzheimer's disease. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sardi. Bill, pick up the story from there.
I certainly think the audience wants to know what to do. And, of course, we've talked about simple things, oil of oregano. We've talked about fresh crushed garlic. We've talked about various things that you can do. Those are good for bacteria and viruses and funguses. And, of course, elderberry syrup, it's well known. It's got two wonderful, credible studies listed in the National Library of Medicine. Especially for your young children, you need to load up your medicine chest with elderberry syrup. It's good for the flu, cuts the duration of the flu and the symptoms tremendously. Why, that's what Tamiflu, that expensive drug from Gilead and Roche Pharmaceutical, does. And, of course, so we know that there are some things that would work well for us. Of course, I keep them handy all the time. I do want to alert your audience to a wonderful new product, and this is a little bit of a commercial. But with all of this, people are going to say, look, it may just be hype. There will be a real cold and flu season anyway. I just want to make sure, what do I do about my loved ones? And it's for sure, I mean, they do say 36,000 people die every flu season. Those are just figures that are hyped out there. It isn't certainly that many. They do this just to fuel the flames, keep the vaccine money coming in for the pharmaceutical companies. But there's a wonderful new product out. Of course, it's called Allobiotic, and, of course, it has elderberry syrup, what I just talked about, olive leaf extract. People have found out about that over time, that it has some properties that's good for your health during infection. AlloSure, which is a patented form of Allicin. It's this type we've talked about before in the Allimax. It's this fresh garlic that's stabilized and protected. And then it has oregano oil, which we talked about, nature's antibiotic. Its active molecule is called Carvacrol. And then it has another little immune enhancer from the larch tree and some rosemary oil. And it's all available. It's a brand new product. It's called Allobiotic, meaning like Allicin from garlic. So it has the garlic, it has the oil of oregano, the olive leaf. There's no product like it. It has the elderberry. And, of course, Lifespan Nutrition, I'm a little bit affiliated with them. And if you want to jot a note down and ask about this, it's on their website at lifespannutrition.com. Or you can call during the weekday, during business hours, 800-247-5500. 5731. They tell me they sold 300 bottles of that today. I can't believe it. But people are a little panicky. They want to know what to do. When you have children at home and various things like this, the product is called Alibiotic. Lifespan Nutrition has it, 800-247-5731. There are other things like this. We're trying to give you specific, a brand name, a phone number, these kind of things, as well as just, look, down at your local health food store, there's things like oil of oregano, like elderberry syrup. So wherever you want to go for these things, but have a good natural medicine chest at home. These things work quite well because you can see what's going to happen. Government is controlling all sources of information and all availability of medicines. They don't tell the public there are any other options. There are many wonderful things that are out here that work quite well in the flu season. And, of course, they don't want us to know about them. I remember I was on the radio trying to tell people about natural alternatives to anthrax that could help us if they couldn't get any anthrax vaccine to us. And I was on a nationwide radio program where millions listen in. By the next morning, NBC News was holding up a bottle of what I talked about, oil of oregano, and saying, this doesn't kill anthrax.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bill Soddy, and we're talking about this epidemic, this hype to convince us there's going to be a major flu epidemic. And I'm not saying there's not necessarily going to be one. But if you look at what's happened logically, 60 to 61 to 62 people at the most have died of this. So why are they assuring us there's going to be a pandemic unless they know something that we don't know? And it's so difficult for the average individual to believe that anybody would actually create new diseases. But if you doubt that, you need to get a copy of Dr. MacArthur's testimony for the House Appropriations Committee in July of 1969. We'll be glad to send you at least a couple of pages of that so you can actually see it and read what he said. And if you need to get the entire text of it, it's about 25 pages. We do have that as well. We would not go on the radio and make this statement that there really are people out there who want to make new diseases for means of mass killing. And yet that was exactly what Dr. MacArthur said, representing the United States Army in 1969. So Bill is simply talking about what you can actually do. And he's mentioned something called Alibiotic. It's a combination of allicin and elderberry syrup. And then what are the other things that are in that? Again, Bill?
Well, you have the oil of oregano, which we've talked about before, and you certainly have, of course, the allicin, which means the active ingredient, allicin from garlic, and then you have the olive leaf extract and the elderberry, which we've talked about. It's a liquid. It's in a little bottle. It's wonderful for children and adults. It has a little immune enhancer in it. It's natural, and then it has a little bit of rosemary oil. And, of course, these things are available to us. It's nice to know if you need a name of something, you need a phone number, we're happy to give it to you. But we're trying to just tell you because people think, well, everything's set up just to sell something. We don't want to do it that way. We want to just tell you, look, make a wonderful natural medicine chest. Don't be dependent on government and doctors just for all your medicines. And you should be using this anyway. And why? Because when we look at all this, the more you use Tamiflu, then you will create the resistant form of the virus in your system. The more you use the antibiotics, you will do this. The more you use any of these drugs. So man-made molecules are going to excite resistance in the body. Now, there's never been any resistance noted from the oregano, from the garlics, and so on. This has never been noticed. Garlic's been in use as an antibiotic since 1858. Louis Pasteur was the first to observe it in a lab dish in 1858, but they waited until 1922 to tell you that penicillin was the first antibiotic. Actually, it had been used even in biblical times, and in the Bible, they used things like garlic, and they used hyssop, which is an herb, antibiotic herb at the time. And they knew what germs were in the Bible. They would come back from war. They would burn their clothes because they knew they were carrying some sort of germs with them. They would clean their instruments of war with hyssop, which was a natural herbal antibiotic. So we know these things. They knew what germs were then. We're not practicing good medicine when we think we have to run to the doctor to get a prescription every time. don't create antibiotic resistance in your home among your loved ones, and then when something really serious happens, you don't have an antibiotic that'll work as a backup. So these things are just keeping the information from you. Vancomycin is the world's strongest antibiotic.
But that isn't going to hit a virus. The only two things that really hit viruses are the amantadine-like products and Tamiflu. And, of course, they've been putting the amantadine into the bird feed over in Asia so their birds wouldn't get this, which is primarily an avian flu virus. So actually, much of this disease over in Asia is resistant to amantadine at the present time. That only leaves Tamiflu. And we don't even know if it's going to work, but we're going to spend billions of dollars and pay it to a company that has strong ties to a man named Donald Rumsfeld, you know, so we can stockpile massive amounts of Tamiflu to protect our people against a coming pandemic that so far has killed 62 people.
And, of course, it's in Southeast Asia where they have very poor nutrition, and that's why it kills off people. So we hear that it's killed people there. It has a high kill rate, death rate. Of course, it certainly might in Southeast Asia. We are a well-fed population. We have more resistance, and that's why we tell people take some dietary supplements. Vitamin C, E, zinc, and selenium are very good, and selenium does prevent the genetic mutation in common forms of the flu from mutating into the form that can be lethal. So I think it's important for people to get a little selenium, and certainly you might get the flu, but you may not die of it. And remember, it's the very young and the very old that are highest at risk. And, of course, when we get back from the little break, we're going to tell you about a little microbiology lesson on how to stop the virus from entering your cells altogether.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Sardian. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the one thing I hope you'll learn from this program tonight is that you're going to have to learn how to protect yourself. And if you don't know how to protect yourself, how are you going to protect your family? The regular flu vaccine really doesn't do much of any good, other than, of course, to increase the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dr. Bill Sardi. I shouldn't say Dr. Bill Sardi. I should say it's Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist and a good friend of Radio Liberty. And pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, certainly so we can all get our microbiology lesson. What happens when viruses are transferred from one person to another and they can be shed, as I said, even from Tamiflu, which is the live virus? What happens when you get signs? You don't know whether it's the cold or the flu. The flu is a little bit more fevery, a little bit more serious, and you might be able to tell the difference of it. But certainly the flu would be regarded as suspicious this year. We'd be a little bit concerned about it. Well, viruses get in the body, and they try to get inside your cellular machinery. They think viruses aren't even alive like bacteria and fungi are. They actually have to get into your cellular machinery, and then they use the replication process, the process of making new cells. They get in there and use the cell printing press to make more copies, and so they start rapidly multiplying in the billions, and this is why they cause so much trouble. And, of course, in the first 3 or 4 days of a cold or the flu, they outnumber your immune system. Now, your immune system's on guard, and then it starts to rapidly respond, and white blood cells, which are made in the bone marrow, then come to the rescue, and they actually start digesting these viruses and bacteria, whatever's in the way. But their armies, including natural killer cells, these are varieties of white blood cells and so on, they start forming big armies, but it takes them about 3 days to get up to speed where they can really get even, Stephen, with the viruses that are replicating. Then they chase them. And, of course, it's during those first 3 days that you are really in misery and you need antihistamines and you need anti-inflammatories and something to handle the fever and things like this, of course. So you want to head this off if you can. Well, how did it all start? Well, the virus comes up to a cell. Now, a living cell is really an oily membrane on the outside with watery cytoplasm inside. Now, water and oil don't mix. And so this virus has to drill a hole down in through the shell of a living cell, the outside wall. And it does that by making an enzyme. Now, in the case of SARS, we showed a year or two ago that a little natural substance called quercetin, found in red onions, red apples, you can get quercetin, preferably with vitamin C. That's Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, quercetin. Get that at health food stores, and it stops the virus that spreads SARS, because the virus can't get into cells.
Hold that thought there for just a minute, Bill, as we bring our stations back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi. We're talking about how the virus attacks the cells. And the virus, of course, cannot exist outside of a living organism. It can exist for a short period of time, but it'll die unless it can gain access to a host. And so once it gets into your body, why, it's got to get into a cell so it can begin then to take over the mechanism of the cell, so the virus itself can actually survive. And to do this, it has to be able to get through the membrane. And there's a substance called quercetin. Quercetin is a product that comes from certainly the skins of red apples, things of that sort. It's available in health food stores. But actually, that will block the ability of the virus to get through the cell wall. Is that pretty close appraisal of it, Bill?
That is a good appraisal. And quercetin, along with another molecule we've talked about on your program before, resveratrol, found in red grapes and mulberries and so on, a good source would be a pill that has enough of that. We've talked about a little pill I'm involved with, Longevinex, but it's very interesting to note that Tamiflu is an enzyme inhibitor. It stops the enzyme neuraminidase that digs a hole in the cell wall so the flu virus can get in.
Now, that's a pill that costs about $7 for each one pill, and you're going to have to take it all during the epidemic, so you can imagine that's going to be pretty expensive, and then we don't even know if it's going to work.
We don't, but, what we have are reports here on my desk showing that a very high level of specific enzyme inhibition is available from resveratrol. Now, there's a resveratrol pill that's biologically active. Resveratrol is a little molecule that gets spoiled easily in the light and the heat and the air, and so you have to get it specially preserved and encapsulated in an airtight capsule, and that capsule is called Longevinex. So, and you can go to the website Longevinex, Longevinex.com, Longevinex, and find out more about that. We're not proposing that it's going to cure you the flu, because it's been untested for that. I'm just telling you, if you wanted the same action biologically, you'd find that in that little red wine molecule. And of course, I'm humorously thinking about, why the winos are going to withstand this flu epidemic, Dr. Stan.
Because they are going to have a high dose of resveratrol because they're drinking red wine.
Yeah, well, it has been said in the past, comically, that, the winos are healthy and they outlive their doctors. And it, maybe there's some truth to that. This molecule is in red wine, and of course, what we're saying is that we may have to reach for alternatives. It's very interesting how modern medicine will spend $3 billion for this expensive drug that does nothing more than what maybe a resveratrol pill could do for you. So, these kind of defenses are available to us. Even the Romans used wine as their medicine. They even wrapped their wounds in it during wartime. And of course, the very reason why one of the major reasons we find out why the Roman Empire fell is their enemies found out about the wine. And they found out that their winemakers knew how to make wine and keep it from going to vinegar by making their containers airtight, and so in their bottles and kegs and things. And so what they did to beat the Romans is they went after their vintners, their winemakers, and killed them and scattered them throughout the map, and then they didn't have their medicine, and then came the plagues, and everything fell there after the Roman Empire fell down. So it was not the only reason, but it was certainly a major reason, and we see disease being part of this. So winemaking, of course, was known to be the art of that. Had actually went into the Dark Ages for a while as people didn't know how to make wine, and then they resurrected it again in various places around the globe. So, wine has been known, and of course, we don't need to have the alcohol or the calories. We just get one of these little red wine pills. But Enough said, we've recommended a couple of products here. We're just trying to give you some options, some alternatives that you never hear about. Modern medicine doesn't want you to know. And, of course, if they do mention these things, they're going to look at it. Where's all the proof? Where's all the evidence? I get the evidence for all this that we report to you right out of the scientific journals themselves. We don't dare share anything here with you that comes from traditional medicine, doesn't have science behind it. So we know what we're talking about. Of course, we know that we even practice and use these things in my home. I have a 16-month-old little boy, and he's on vitamin C, and he's on fish oil. Those are wonderful things to help your immune system. He hasn't been sick in 16 months, no rashes, no colds, no flu, none of this, and so no allergies. So when you see your young children, make sure they're getting 20 milligrams of vitamin C per pound of body weight. That's the amount of vitamin C that animals make, and that's what we as adults and children should be getting. Get liquid vitamin C, get powdered vitamin C. Put it in children's drinks. You'll find out that they have less allergy. They're more resistant to colds and the flu. Spread that vitamin C out in the day. If you take it all at one time, you're going to get a little diarrhea. Yes, you will. But if you take it and make it just like the animals do and make it, take it through the day, you'll find it's a wonderful companion. And, of course, you know, it's interesting. We see these animals in the wild. You'd think all the birds would have been wiped out with all of these viruses, these avian viruses. Look, the flocks are in the millions. Somehow they survive. They're making vitamin C.
And it's so interesting that a lot of the birds are resistant to this. Now, there's certain types of birds that are dying in large numbers. And, of course, they've killed about 160 million birds over there to try to control the spread. But among the birds, not into the general adult human population, but they're sure doing everything they can to scare us to death. And yet some species of birds carry the virus but are not killed by it. Let's get that telephone number out once again where people could learn more about that allobiotic.
Allobiotic Lifespan Nutrition. They're in California, 800-247-5731, 800-247-5731. It's a wonderful new product. When I saw it, I just really said, boy, that is really going to be wonderful. I had no idea all this was happening. And, of course, many people need to learn about products like this. The antibiotic resistance problem, someday none of the antibiotics are going to be working. You need to be learning ahead of time about how to use these things for your own good health. I don't know why we're waiting for food poisoning to occur and then take an antibiotic. I don't know. You know, we don't eat sterile food. One of the major reasons that 10% of all the cancers in the United States comes from infection. Where does it come from? From the food we eat. H. pylori, a little bacterium, gets in our digestive tract, causes the stomach cancer that we have. Why aren't we taking natural antibiotics, herbs, spices, natural things that won't come back and bite us, that aren't expensive? We're telling you what some of those things are: elderberry syrup, oil of oregano, the active ingredient allicin from garlic. These are some of the natural things that can be used. There's molecules, of course, in olive leaf extract and so on. So,
well, let's go. We've got Theodora on the line, and she's been hanging on patiently. I would simply point out that when I went to medical school, everybody knew that duodenal ulcers were created by stress. And, you know, for 30 years as I practiced medicine, why the treatment for ulcers was surgery. If you couldn't get them well by giving them lots of cream and milk and sedation and all sorts of antispasmodics, why many times people would have to have surgery, or they'd have to have surgery because they'd get a ruptured ulcer. And then a few years ago, somebody, actually a couple of Australians, found out this wasn't related to stress at all. The reason people had a lot of stress is because they had a lot of pain. It was related to a bacterial infection. And all this time, we were doing all the wrong things. And, of course, this is one reason, of course, in many societies, they use a lot of spices because, you know, these have a strong antibacterial
and effect. And Dr. Barry Marshall in Australia just got the Nobel Prize for this yesterday.
So. Right, and for all those years, we were doing all the surgery and doing all these things, and it was totally unnecessary.
Well they let the patents run through for the drug companies and on their other medicines, and then when the patents were up, then they said it was a bacteria. Isn't that terrible to let all those people die? so the companies could make money.
Well, let's go to Theodora. Hi, Theodora.
Hi, Dr. Stan. And even though I haven't called recently, I have been listening.
Okay. Well, we always miss you, and it's always good to hear. Do you have a question for our
guest? Yes, I do, because I turned in a bit late, and I heard some of the conversation about resveratrol, which I'm familiar with. But you were mentioning, you know, how the protection for these plague infections. And I'm just curious how France did during the, and I don't know if the flu of 1918 counts as a, you know.
We'll have to look some of that data up. So everyone can get this part of the story. And Dr. Stan has pointed it out. They used to say 20 million died worldwide, and then they start building it up to 50 million and 200 million. We don't know where those figures originally came from.
Well, they're making up statistics because they're trying to scare us to death.
But it was only a few hundred thousand in the United States who died. Now, I say only because they use the millions figure. But one of the interesting things about the flu of 1918 is it killed off generally young men or young people in the age range of like 19 to 34 years old.
It had a terrible effect on the military. That was
now, why was that? And, of course, it should have been the very young and the very old, as are all the other outbreaks of anything from food poisoning to the influenza virus. Well, what had happened is just recently, demographers at University of California, Berkeley, went looking at the number of people dying every year from tuberculosis. And they noticed right after the Spanish flu, the number of people dying of tuberculosis was almost zero. Well, why? Tuberculosis is a bacterium. Well, you see, these young boys had come back from World War I. They got tuberculosis overseas. And then they were coughing. They had it. We didn't have antibiotics then. And then came the flu virus. Now, here, your lungs have a bacterium. You get a virus. You couldn't withstand it, and you died. Now, so everyone understands this. How many people in the world already have a bacterium tuberculosis in their lungs? 2 billion of the 6 billion people on the planet. Who is most at risk to die? Anybody who has a current infection, and particularly TB, you'd think of that, or HIV. Those are people be at greatest risk. Of course, there are a lot of those people in the third world. And then, of course, we alerted people a few months ago that there's a little bacterium, a cousin of TB, in your milk. It's getting past the pasteurization, called paratuberculosis. It's a stealth bacterium, won't cause symptoms of infection or elevated fever or white blood count. You can't detect it, but it's in your body. Well, you get that flu virus, it's going to turn that guy on, too. So
that's the aviary tuberculosis, and that's what people with the HIV get, because they come down not with regular tuberculosis, although they may, but they come down with aviary tuberculosis, which is ordinarily not a factor of human beings, unless your immune system goes. And then when that happens, why you become susceptible, and that's why so many of the tragic people with HIV who have a decompensated immune system develop aviary tuberculosis with all the devastating effects it has. But I think, Theodora, we really don't have the information. Maybe Bill can look that up. If
resveratrol is a, you know, as good as it sounds, and I have no reason to doubt otherwise, it should have, you know, on some level, it should show up in terms of France.
The wine is variable, and it does have it in the red wine 10 times more so. But, yes, it should show up because it is medicine, and let's see if we can find those figures. That's a good thought.
And, again, another good show, and always good to hear you, Mr. Sardi.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks so much for calling, Theodore.
Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, we've been talking this evening about this specter of the avian flu epidemic. Is it going to strike us? I frankly don't know. If I was certainly looking at what's going on, I would say that this is all hype. They're just trying to frighten us to death and trying to get us to take the influenza vaccine this year. And if you look at the statistics on this, if traditionally the influenza vaccine that we take every flu season does very little good. I mean, certainly as far as the older people are concerned, and those are the ones, of course, you're most concerned about their health, they've developed such a poor immune response that it really doesn't do much of any good. And there have been a number of studies recently that points out how grossly ineffective it is in the elderly, and certainly in the young, why we're giving them toxic doses of mercury. And we have to ask why in heaven's name you'd be doing that. You're going to take the mercury out of the childhood vaccines. And then you're going to put it into the influenza vaccine, which you recommend for 6-month-old. You would either have to be incredibly stupid or incredibly diabolical to do something like that. And then the other question is, are there people who would perhaps want some sort of a major epidemic? And the president said just this morning that, you know, we were going to have to use the troops. We were going to have military control if we had an outbreak of the epidemic in the United States. Why would he be talking about that when only 61 or 62 people have died in the entire world? What does he know that the rest of us don't know?
Well, certainly we do get concerned about all these so-called cataclysms. We're concerned. FEMA said before 9/11 there were 3 cataclysms that could occur in the United States: a terrorist attack on New York City, a hurricane in New Orleans, and a earthquake primarily centered in San Francisco, the San Andreas Fault. And of course, it just seems they're too predictable. Do they have technology to direct these things? Do they organize them and so on? Well, it's at least worth questions, and certainly we do know the United States has weather technology to manage the weather, but in the area of the flu, we know that this idea of generating our own diseases, it can be done quite easily, and isn't it interesting? Never in history has a virus from an animal jumped to humans till we had the knowledge of how to mutate it, and then somehow we're claiming it did it all on its own. If you believe that, why, I don't know. You know, nature doesn't work this way. So I when we sent people up to Alaska to dig the flu virus out of the permafrost, like we sent up people to the United States Army Biological Weapons Lab. They're not people involved in public health. They're people involved in making biological weapons. So I think we tip our hand there. I think it's hard for people to realize, is it our own country that could be against us? What was the Constitution all about but protection from government, not so much from foreign invaders? We need to turn our hearts, our minds around and think. We need to be vigilant. We need to have, of course, our periscope up. We need to be a little skeptical about what we hear and of course, be on guard and be protected. And, of course, I'm getting my home ready just in case we have to survive on our own, as we've seen in recent weeks in the United States, that we have medicine, we have cash on hand, we have flashlights, food, these kind of things. I think you should do the same in your home.
Well, I think if any of our listeners out there are skeptical about what we've been saying, if you'd like to get a copy of Dr. MacArthur's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee, we'll send you the pages that where that is made. And, of course, if you want to get the complete testimony, the 20 pages or more, why, of course, you'll have to request that specifically. But we'll be glad to send you free of charge the pages from the House Appropriations Committee testimony. I know it's accurate. We've checked it from many places where they're talking about how they want to create a new disease for mass killing. A new disease for mass killing, 1969. Remember, the disease they were going to create there 36 years ago was, of course, going to destroy the immune system, so there'd be no immune response. And isn't it interesting that just a decade later, we had our first cases of AIDS, the acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Bill Sardi, and it's always interesting to have Bill's views on this, but I think this is a very important issue, and I'm so glad Bill could be with us tonight, especially when we see the president just today talking about the importance of being able to prepare for this massive worldwide flu pandemic and bringing in the military, as he has asked now, we suspend the posse comitatus laws so that we can begin using the military for police work and control through the entire 48 states, or 50 states of America. That was a rather frightening statement, wasn't it, Bill?
Well, it certainly was. I am concerned about our own country, about the public that's naive and bought off, really. The news press should be alerting it, and they seem to be just parroting the press releases that come from government. So I know people are really letting their television set doing the thinking for them, and if the television set says, go get your flu shot, call up mom and tell her to go get her flu shot. Well, And this is kind of what's going on in America. They want to make sure, at the very least, that all of these flu shots are sold. So they got to get everyone sold on it. They've got three drug companies lined up. They've got 96 million doses to sell, times about $10, $15. So they've got to get them all sold, folks, and you've got to fall for the sales pitch. So this is their sales pitch this year. What we're concerned about is there something more sinister afoot? We've tried to talk to you. Dr. Stan started this whole line of thinking some time ago that population agendas, population control, is one of the major agendas of the world. We all need to think about it. Is that true? If it's true, they've talked about evolution, the survival of the fittest. Let's just control population as it was controlled once in the past. Let's just spread pandemics. We won't line people up and shoot them with machine guns. We'll just let the diseases do it.
And if anybody would like to read the pages from Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, page 103, we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you just call us at 1-800-544-8927. And Bertrand Russell there says, you know, birth control doesn't work very well. And you know, even war has not been very successful in controlling population. But if we could have a black plague sweep the world once in every generation, we wouldn't have to worry about the population, and people could procreate as much as they'd like. Bertrand Russell, his book, The Impact of Science in Society, 1953. If you'd like it, the free page of that book, we'd be glad to send it to you. Give us a call. Could this really be true? Are there people this crass and indifferent to human suffering out there? And I would like to suggest yes. And people like Bertrand Russell, working with leaders of our country. Bill, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at, and I hope you've enjoyed our program with Bill Sardi. And again, if you would like to get in touch with him, his number is 800-247-5731. And I will tell you, I've been taking his resveratrol and his Allimax for about 3 or 4 years now. Well, let's see. I first met Bill right after 9-1-1, and I've been taking the Allimax, the garlic extract, ever since then, the resveratrol for a couple of years. And I haven't had the flu. I've never taken a flu shot, and I never intend to take one. Of course, initially, I didn't realize it had the toxic doses of mercury in it. I didn't realize it was directly tied to Alzheimer's disease. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you say, I don't believe that you can get Alzheimer's disease from taking the flu shots, why, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And simply ask for the page from Dr. Fudenberg, F-U-D-E-N-B-E-R-G. His webpage, he's the dean of vaccinologists. He trained most of the vaccine specialists in America. And, of course, on his webpage, an abstract of an article telling you exactly what I just told you. We have a new DVD or video we put together. I did it for the Prophecy Club. It's called Planned Population Reduction. It's one of the most powerful presentations, and I hate to say that something I did was pretty good, but it really will give you the information you need to know. And it's quite professionally done, with lots of charts and information and pictures and other things that will help you to understand really what we're up against. So if you'd like to know more about the DVD and or video, Planned Population Destruction, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We certainly want to remind you about the fact that we are going to be having the all-day conference here in the Monterey Bay area on November 19th. That's Saturday, November 19th. And if you're interested in coming, why, give us a call. We have to know ahead of time how many people are coming because we're going to be serving lunch. And then I would certainly point out that there really is a program to drastically limit the number of people in the world. We have a 4-tape set on population control and why they've really outlawed DDT, having nothing to do with the eggshells or all the things you've been told. We have a video on the population control. We have a monograph. It's up on my website of RadioLiberty.com called The Population Control Agenda. That's The Population Control Agenda. But if you get any of the products we've talked about, why, you can be glad to send you a copy of the Population Control Agenda monograph free of charge. I would echo what Bill had said about beginning to prepare. I don't know what the future holds, but of course you will make no mistake by at least making the simple preparations of the governor's wife, Maria Shriver, goes on the television regularly telling her to be prepared, and I think she's absolutely right. You'll be foolish not to look after yourself and after your family. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival and for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And we'll be back here in just a moment or two for the next hour of Radio Liberty, right here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But please hold your calls until we ask for a call. Right now we have with us on the line Ron Brown, is a good friend, and he certainly supports Radio Liberty and helps us to bring these programs to you. And Ron certainly has been in the process of providing advice to people for a number of years, I think going back into the late 70s, as far as gold and metal, things of that sort. And right now, of course, most fascinating things are going on in the world today. Most people do not understand international economics, and I don't purport to be a great expert on it, but the United States has become the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. Now, until a few years ago, we were the greatest creditor nation. We were lending money to other people and giving them money. Well, we're still giving other countries money, but we're having to borrow from countries throughout the world to be able to finance what we're doing. And it's the most amazing thing that we have our long-range bonds. It takes about $3 billion a day just to fund the massive deficits we're running here in the United States. And that money at the present is being provided by other central banks, which are keeping the United States afloat, because if they stop funding the United States, why, the whole house of cards would come tumbling down. And I think these countries really want to keep us going so they can continue selling to us. And because they're holding so many dollars, in their own accounts, that if the dollar were to go bankrupt, why, the economies of the other major countries of the world would go bankrupt as well. And then, of course, with the massive run-up of the price of oil, why, what are the Arab countries doing with all the money that they're making? Why, they're investing it in the United States. They're recycling it here to keep us afloat. We are totally dependent on the rest of the world for our financial stability. And the average individual doesn't understand how fragile our economic system is. In fact, it was Stephen Roach, the senior advisor, senior member of the staff of Morgan Stanley, who said probably 2 years ago he saw a 90% chance of a financial Armageddon for the United States. And Paul Volcker, writing on the 10th of April of this year in the Washington Post, said that he foresaw serious problems. He said, "I don't know whether it'll be sooner or later, with a bang or a whimper, but I believe there's going to be a financial crisis, because the central banks of the world will not continue subsidizing our massive deficits indefinitely." And he said, "What a terrible thing would be if that were the epitaph to America." Well, with that as the background, Ron Brown, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Nice to be with you again, Dr. Stan.
Well, give us a little of your thoughts on what's going on. We've seen a run-up in the price of gold. We've seen a run-up in the price of silver. We've seen a run-up in the price of gold, pardon me, of oil. But we've also seen an increase in the value of the dollar. And ordinarily, of course, you'd see oil and gold and silver going up when the dollar's falling, and yet the dollar's been increasing in value. Why is that?
Well, you know, we've talked for the last 2-3 years about how this debt system, as it gets larger and larger, becomes a Ponzi scheme, and that the whole central banks of the world are desperately trying to hold this house of cards together, because it's literally a confidence game, and that if people ever lose confidence in the system, then they start to panic out of the debt instruments, and that's what holds this house of cards together. So they're kind of caught in a trap, in that if the U.S. collapses, then everything they have, they still need us to trade with. As you said, they still have literally trillions of dollars of our debt. So if the dollar collapses, they go down a black hole with us.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Ron Brown, talking about what's really going on behind the scenes financially today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Ron Brown, and Ron is saying that what's really going on is a massive confidence game, a massive Ponzi scheme, and all the rest of these central banks of the world are currently financing the fact that we're spending far more than we're producing. There's never been an instance in all history where a nation could indefinitely spend more than it's making, and we're going by about 6-7% every single year. And sooner or later, the whole house of cards is going to come down. So pick up the story there, Ron.
Well, I would just give you an idea. I was reading Richard Russell's thing, and he was talking about how the debt has increased. And in 2002, the increase in the national debt was $450 billion. In 2003, the increase rose to $984 billion. In 2004, the increase was $800 billion. And this year, the House has already passed an increase of $781 billion. Then you throw on top of that the hurricanes that have knocked out our refineries, and it's probably going to be, $200 to $300? Who knows how much they'll spend rebuilding that. So in just a matter of 3 or 4 years, we have increased the national debt by over 50%. And we're talking about a debt that's taken over 200 years to accumulate, and now we're accelerating that fast. So doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that this whole debt structure is spinning out of control, and yet the more we spend, the more we have to spend, because the foreigners are losing faith. They're buying less of our debt than they have in the past, which then forces the Fed to monetize that debt or just run the printing press to fund that debt, which further devalues the currency. So the tiger is literally chasing his tail, and I think we're getting very, very close to a meltdown.
Well, I think it's very interesting. It's estimated that foreigners hold about 2 trillion dollars, that's $T trillion in American debt, which comes out to about $6,450, something like that, for every man, woman, and child living in America that you effectively owe foreigners, the foreign central banks, who owe that much in our debt. And what's really happening is that we're becoming totally dependent upon Japan, on China, and certainly upon the European central banks to prop up our way of life. And they will not indefinitely allow us to live so much better than the people throughout the rest of the world. I mean, why should they be putting their money into America so we can live high on the hog, when, of course, they're having to impoverish their own people and cut back on the various programs in their own country that have brought them political support? We'll be right back with Ron Brown. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown, and we're simply talking about the massive debt that we have. And I was pointing out that foreign central banks hold about $2 trillion in American government bonds. That means that every American citizen owns these foreign central bankers about $6,000, about $6,400 is the figure I've comes to mind. And, you know, certainly we're totally dependent upon communist China, upon Japan, upon the European central banks to prop up our standard of living. The people in those other countries don't live as well as we do, and they will not indefinitely finance our spending spree. Now, the Bush administration has come up with the greatest increase in spending in all recorded history. First of all, the Medicare drug bill. They're talking about $8 trillion in unfunded mandates down the line with that, and then we've got Medicare unfunded mandates on top of that. We actually have promised to give the American people somewhere around $72 trillion that we don't have, what we promised them in Social Security benefits and Medicare benefits, and now we've added to that the Medicare health benefits, and now we're going to spend $2, maybe $3, maybe $4 trillion rebuilding New Orleans and Mississippi. And then we've got the war, and then we're forgiving foreign debts, and where's all the money coming from? Why we're going to borrow it from our good friends throughout the world? How long do you think they're going to continue propping up our high standards of living while they're having to impoverish their own people, Ron?
Well, it can't last forever, obviously. This is reminding you a lot of the 28-29 blow-off, and when we had guns and butter, and the thing ran its course, and we had the worst depression in the history of this country, and yet where we're heading is makes that one look like a little picnic. So it really is frightening where we are heading as a country, and how our monetary authorities over the last 40, 50 years have just run us into total bankruptcy because they were afraid to allow a recession. They always wanted to put off the recession to the next incumbent or next person coming on board. And so the bigger that debt structure gets, the more devastating a correction would be, so they just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and now we're about to the point, I believe, I'm afraid, where they actually are running out of rabbits to keep putting off this this day of reckoning.
Well, I think one of the most interesting thing is the asset bubble in housing. And this has been totally artificially created. It's been allowed by the Federal Reserve System that's allowed all this so-called innovative type of financing, you know, like nothing down or, you know, nothing down and then you don't even have to pay, you know, the full payment. You go behind every month. You would pay interest-only loans or even less than interest-only loans so that every month the amount of money you owe on your loan gets larger and larger. And, of course, I know people who bought homes, you know, they got, of course, borrowed 100%, and they got back $25,000. In other words, the house was appraised above the value that they paid for it, and they got money back for buying it. You can only do this for so long. And I think that Alan Greenspan talked about this recently when he talked about these assets that we've created in the housing bubble with absolutely nothing behind it. And then he went on to say words to the effect that, you know, that when the this whole thing begins to come down, there can be disastrous consequences, and we are in uncharted waters. We've never been in a situation like this before, but history tells us when you get into this type of a situation, that why it can certainly create a tremendous disruption of the whole economic system. And if you listen to what Alan Greenspan is telling you, he's telling you that the housing bubble is about to implode, and with that, we're going to have disastrous consequences because we've created all sorts of money out of absolutely nothing. It's all out of expectation. The people who've cashed out of their homes have done fine, but of course they're going to invest their money in products, maybe in the stock market, another thing. But I very much fear that all of those assets are going to go down. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you'd like to call, if you have a question for our guest, Ron Brown, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Ron, of course, the interesting thing is that gold and silver have taken up quite a significant run-up here immediately after the Katrina earthquake, backing off a little now. Do you think they're going to continue backing off, or do you think that maybe there has been a breakout?
Oh, I think we've obviously had a clean breakout of gold. When it broke through $450, two or three weeks ago, that was an 18-year high, and it was a resistance level. They've been trying to hold it below. If you recall, back in April a year ago, gold first hit that 450 level, and then the plunge protection team or whoever came in, and they beat it way back down. In fact, they beat silver down from, 850 down to 550, and then it fought its way back until December of 2004. It reached that same level again, and they beat it back down again. So here, this time it comes through and it just breaks through with a vengeance. Now we're free and clear, I think. We're heading into the second wave up of this bull market. And that's the leg of the bull market where more and more people start to wake up. See, the early stages of a bull market, only the smart money sees it coming. The rest of us are still looking at our real estate and our stock portfolios and so forth. And so they don't even see the beginning of the new bull market, which started in gold in 2001 with gold at $255 an ounce, and it peaked, in my opinion, in April of 2004 at $450 an ounce, which is the first stage of a bull market, but that's not a bad return considering what's happened to other investments other than real estate, of course. So now as we go into this next leg, more and more people realize inflation is literally eating their lunch, and that they cannot leave their money tied up in dollars that are being depreciated at the rate of 8, 10, 12% a year. Once they understand inflation is running that rapid, then they must do something different, and that is they start to look for a different refuge. And I think gold and silver is the ultimate refuge.
But, of course, the American people are told by their government that inflation is only running maybe 2 or at the most recently 3%. Really it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. Why, if you say it enough times with enough authoritative figures, they'll believe it. Now, all you have to do is look and see what's happened to the price of gasoline, of diesel, of natural gas, of electricity, of health care, of food, of housing, of rents. And then you're either going to believe your lying eyes, you're going to believe what the government tells you, and I believe you're absolutely right. People are losing about 10% of the value of their savings every single year because of the inflation, and yet the government keeps denying we have inflation because the people realize what's happening. They realize they're being robbed of their life savings.
And also, Dr. Stan, remember the last few years you've asked me, is gold just rising as a function of the dollar? Is it rising against other currencies? And of course, the first leg up, gold was simply basically a function of a devaluing dollar. Gold wasn't rising in terms of euros and Swiss francs and German marks and so forth, but now all of a sudden we've seen a 10-year high in gold versus all the currencies. So now all the world is starting to see gold as a refuge. You see, if you think about it, as we run these massive deficits, and the simple example I give, let's say, Dr. Stan, you or XYZ Corporation in China or Japan or some other country, and you do a big trade with the U.S. and you come up with $1 billion of profits, Well, you have those profits in dollars, and you want to convert them to your currency. So you take it down to your bank in your country, and what do? They accept the dollars, and then they print money to give you money in that currency. So in effect, we have inflated we have exported our inflation. We have forced the rest of the world to inflate with us. And they do that because they don't want the dollar to collapse. So as the rest of the world goes into a credit bubble like we are, then gold does eventually become the last refuge, and I think that's what we're starting to see.
Well, of course, we're hearing quite a bit about what's going on over in China, what's going on in India, and what's going on in other countries throughout the world. Now, certainly there are places in the world where most people really aren't even aware of what money is all about. All they know is that one morning they wake up and suddenly the value of their entire savings, their lifetime work, has been wiped out. It's happened in Russia in the early 1990s. It's happened in Argentina about two to three years ago, when simply overnight they devalued the value of their peso, which of course they had been promised was tied to the dollar and would never be devalued. They devalued it by 75%, simply wiping out the life savings of so many of the people who were there. And now, of course, they stabilized the peso, and now they're beginning to inflate again, and once again eroded down there in Argentina. But as happens in so many of the South American countries, so many of the South American countries are running 10, 12, 15, 20% inflation rates, so that there is no way you can really protect your life savings unless you're in gold or property or something of material nature. And do you see that this is going to be happening here in the United States?
Well, eventually, you know, it applies to an individual, to a business, to a church, to a state, to a government. If you keep spending beyond your means, eventually your creditors will cut you off. And we're starting to see strong signs. I was reading an article just last week. It's probably outdated a little bit by now, but we've been dependent on foreigners to invest about $300 billion a year in our U.S. debt. Well, in the last 12 months, according to this article, that was down to $188 billion. So one has to ask the question, if they've reduced their buying by $112 billion, who is buying up that debt?
It's probably our own Federal Reserve System creating new money out of nothing, which, of course, is the roadway to disaster for a national currency.
Exactly.
All right, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest this evening, Ron Brown, and we're talking about what's really happening financially. People who do not understand what's happening financially will be, I fear, totally wiped out. It's happened so many times throughout history, and I think it's going to happen right here in America in the not-too-distant future. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown. Ron, what do you hear about what's going on over in China? What's happening as far as India is concerned? My understanding is that certainly as their economies pick up and people have more and more in the way of money, and these people really, of course, much more frugal than the Americans, they're not interested in buying everything or buying everything on credit. In fact, many people in China and Japan just won't buy things on credit. They don't want the credit cards. They want to be able to pay for a thing, and they want to save money. Are they investing in gold and precious metals as well?
Absolutely. In fact, I understand Saudi Arabia is just exploding in gold sales. You know, if you think about it, and we've been talking about this for the last 2-3 years, and I was saying that the world is trapped in this system with us. They still need us to trade. We're the world's reserve currency, and they've been so dependent on us because we're the biggest consumers of the world that they needed to sell to us, so they have been supporting our debt for all these years, and we've been enjoying the folly of the rest of the world financing our excess spending, and we didn't have to worry about our deficits for years, but that the rest of the world was getting fed up with it, and that they were in a position where they were trying to gradually phase out of the dollar, and by that I mean to develop other markets. And of course, as we send all of our jobs and overseas and their infrastructure starts to build, then they can start to sell more and more of their production to domestically, because they're going to be looking for the new TVs and the new cars and all the other things that we already have three of in our garage. So as the world needs is less and less and less, then they're going to start backing away, and I think that's what they're already doing. And so I agree that they will start to develop their own markets and start to sell that production within themselves, and then they will abandon us at some point because they don't need us anymore.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting, Ron. I've told this story in the past, but one of my friends who has a business back in Boston, he's a construction, and they build major buildings back there, and a couple of architects from India came and asked if they could begin doing work for him. They could do it so much more cheaply than American architects, and my friend said to them, well, but, you know, certainly you can't do your architectural design here unless you have people here stationed right here in Boston who can go through the planning process and talk to the planning people and get the permits and all of these things. And the Indian architect said, well, first of all, we have people here who will do all that for us, and if you'll send the work to us, we can do it very cheaply. We can get it back to you, you know, in 24 hours or so. And my friend was shocked to think of the architectural business getting to shift over to India. So he asked one of his, I think it was his brother-in-law, who's also in the construction business or perhaps in the engineering of some sort, if he'd run into that. And he said not only as far as Indians is concerned, but people from both China and Korea are beginning to offer their services here, and certainly with no tariffs, no barriers, why they can do the work so much more cheaply. Well, thinking of that as the background, I came across an article recently where you can get your legal work. You don't have to hire an expensive American lawyer. You can get all the legal work done over in India, and of course, they will do all the research and write the papers and all the appeals for you over there, and at pennies on the dollar, why, we're going to be able to undercut the expensive American lawyers and, of course, get our work done there. And I think we're going to see increasingly that every profession in the United States is going to come increasingly under pressure, whether it be medicine or law or architecture. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown. And we're talking really about what's happening financially. And if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I was simply telling the story that had been told to me about how Indian architects are coming over here, very well trained. They speak excellent English. They're very well trained. They have access to getting permits here in this country, and they can offer you architectural design and engineering design in this country at a fraction of what, of course, American architects or engineers will charge you. But even more interesting is the fact that now you can get your legal work done over in India. And these people, of course, their whole educational system is aimed at excellence. These people are used to hard work. And you can get the research, you can get the papers, the appeals, everything drawn up in India according to American laws, and they'll just ship them to you at pennies on the dollar of what it would cost you here in the United States. So what you were seeing is a situation evolving where the American worker, whether and even the American professional man, architect, engineer, lawyer, and very soon, I suspect, physicians and others are all going to be in competition with people throughout the rest of the world. This is the globalist plan. And, of course, since the Indians will work at a much lower level, they will do probably in many respects better work because they're better trained and better educated than our people are, because, of course, there they stress excellence and perfection, and here we stress mediocrity and certainly just getting by and, of course, go out and get a job. And how much time do you get off and how big a salary do you get? And whereas that's not with the Indians. The Indians want to be competitive, and they are competitive. And we're going to see it not only from India but from other nations throughout the world. So we're going to see a progressive lowering of the living standards here in the United States, which is part of the globalist plan. And as you've heard me say so many times before, it's all laid out in the new Ten Commandments. It's called the Earth Charter. That's what they call it, the new Ten Commandments. That's what that great American patriot, Mikhail Gorbachev, calls it. That great American patriot, well, he's really a Canadian. His name is Maurice Strong, and then Stephen Rockefeller. The new Ten Commandments for the world in the Earth Charter in point 10 talks about redistribution of wealth between nations. They're simply redistributing your wealth and, of course, your children's wealth inheritance. What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
Well, first off, there's an old Chinese proverb that says everyone can get rich doing each other's laundry. And it looked like we don't even have to do our laundry anymore because the foreigners are doing that for us. So I agree with you. The standard of living in America is going down, and it's going to be a shock to the system at some point because there will be a foreclosure on America at some point. So, yeah, if you'd have told me 20 years ago that they could have orchestrated totally gutting the structure of America and all of our jobs, send them overseas, and do that in a period of quote-unquote prosperity in America, and they did it through just funny money spending and, you know, asset bubbles and so forth. And so the average person thinks we, for the last 10, 15, 20 years, we've been in an economic boom when in reality we have been gutting the whole system, and now we've just got a shell and there's no jobs out there. So the day of reckoning is close at hand, I'm afraid.
And I think that's going to just continue and continue and continue. We're finding now, of course, that the General Motors and Ford are having difficulty selling their major-sized cars. And, of course, they've got a glut of the SUVs, SUVs around and the Suburbans. And, of course, nobody wants to buy them with the increased price of gasoline. I went out, filled up my old Suburban, you know, cost me $94 to fill up the tank. That gets to be a lot of money. I'm certainly not going to be doing very much driving with a car that burns that much in the way of gasoline. And then we find that as the American people are spending more money on gasoline, heating oil is going to be going up, natural gas is going to be going up. Certainly the products you buy in the stores are going to be going up because so much of it's brought in by trucks and their diesel expenses, cost of diesel is going up. The farmer is dependent upon diesel to run his farm, implements, his tractors and all. That their prices are going to have to go up. They can't operate at a loss. And this is going to impact about the amount of money that the American people will have to spend. And, of course, if the American people don't have as much money to spend, then, of course, the economy begins to grind down to a halt. Have you thought about that, Ron?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if it wasn't already bad enough, things were starting to spin out of control anyway. But then you come along with this big hurricane which shuts down our refineries, creates another spending binge to restore New Orleans and now Lake Charles and parts of Houston. And, you know, if, like you say, if you're spending $50 or $100 more a week on your gasoline bills, then you obviously can't go to Walmart as much.
Amen to that. Hey, well, I want to tell you, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call as soon as we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest this evening, Ron Brown. We're simply talking about what's happening to our country financially, and where are we really headed at the present time as we see, of course, ever, higher prices, and I really believe that we may, of course, back off on the price of gasoline for the time being, but you have to understand that in many other parts of the world, we're talking about Europe, Great Britain, the price of gasoline is $5 a gallon, and I believe it's going to go up to that level here. It's only a matter of time. They're going to do it in fits and starts, but they're going to drive the prices up, and this is great for the oil companies, and they have created artificial shortages as far as refining space. They have not built a refinery in the United States for over 30 years, and we have about only between half and two-thirds of refining capacity today than we had 30 years ago. And right now, of course, our refineries are operating at full capacity with no time out for repairs. And when you do that long enough, pretty soon the whole thing implodes. And yet, because we lost some of our refiner capacity with Katrina and Rita, why they're, at least at the present time, they're operating them full out, knowing full well that this is going to eventually result in the collapse of a number of refineries right here in the United States. So I can see the price of oil and gas and natural heating and natural gas and heating, all of these things continuing going. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it just occurred to me while we were talking about this, and I'm sure you're very aware of Agenda 21, and Agenda 21 is something passed by the the United Nations years back, and what they're plotting and planning is to force all the people in America, I guess throughout the world, into very small, crowded areas of the country, and that, that what's up to 75% of the landmass would be kind of off limits.
Right.
And so this fits right into that, because they want us all riding bicycles. And so as the price of gasoline goes up and forces to change the way, you know, suburbia, I think, as we know it, is the thing of the past, or soon will be, because people are going to have to move into cramped quarters where they will save on energy costs. So, yeah, it's going to affect us in so many ways that people don't even think about. And America, as we know it, is a changing thing very, very quickly.
And there really is a plan to get us onto bicycles, and you might be interested to know that the sale of bicycles this last 6 months has skyrocketed right here in America. And if you listen to what these people say in their Agenda 21, they want to get us on bicycles. They would like to have every American living just like the people in Beijing. There are people who have a different world vision because they worship a different God. We'll be right back here, and we'll talk to Jerome from Detroit. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Jerome calling from Detroit. Hi, Jerome. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, man. I'm just fed up like you guys.
Well, at least we've got a voice, and we hope you'll get the people back there in Detroit listening to our program. Are you concerned about what's happening? And certainly Detroit used to be the motor city, the home of automotive production. What's happening to automotive production there in Detroit?
Who knows? They just reported some more loss for the future. It's just not looking good. Gas, terrible. Everyone's gouging. Oh, man, it's horrible.
Well, we certainly believe this, but we believe it's all being contrived, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they've created this crisis as far as the price of oil. We believe that if they would simply, put a floor under the price of oil so that people could go ahead and begin opening up the capped oil wells. You see, I'm telling you, they got all sorts of capped oil wells all over the United States and up there in Alaska. But
right.
If they were actually to start pumping them, why, the oil cartel would drop the price down, as they did in the 1970s, and bankrupt anybody who dared to compete with them. So we need a price floor, about $25 a barrel for oil, and this country would be awash with oil, but that's not what the oil companies want. They want shortages so they can run the price up, and boy, they're sure doing it. What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with that. You hear all these stories about Alaska and so forth, and obviously the big corporations that control the energy are fighting to keep them. We should have been working on alternative fuels a long, long time ago. You know, even back in the 70s, people could have been driving cars today that would get 30, 40, 50 miles a gallon, and yet they've kept this thing going, and now we're really trapped in the system, because it's going to take a while to get out of your SUVs that you owe $30,000 or $40,000 on still that you just bought, and yet now you can't afford to drive them.
Well, somebody called this afternoon, and they were talking about a car, and I'd forgotten about it, but it got 75 to 100 miles a gallon. It was just a small little car, but it was a nice-looking little car. 75 to 100 miles a gallon, they outlawed it so you couldn't bring it into this country. Why? And this was probably a decade ago. Because they didn't want an energy-efficient car here. They wanted, of course, to create the artificial shortages. That's what it's all about, Jerome. And you've got to help us get the American people to understand they're being manipulated, and there is a master plan. It's called the Earth Charter. And if you can get it off the Internet, if you can't, you can call us. We'll send you one. Anything else you'd like to say, Jerome, before we let you go?
Before we go, everyone, they have to see it. I mean, the jobs are, like you said, going away. Everything's going up. More people here are being laid off. It's just terrible.
Well, Jerome, you get those people there in Detroit listening to our program there every evening, and because they can listen to us 5 hours a day on the Internet if they want to, and we'll try to get them educated. But you can't understand anything going on unless you understand there is a spiritual force that is energizing these wicked people who are so intent upon destroying America.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, God bless you. Thanks so much for calling, Jerome.
God bless you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Linda calling from Wisconsin, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. How are you doing, Linda?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I just tuned in, so I haven't heard all the program, but you're talking about energy and the cost of living, etc. And I was just wondering if you or your guest know anything about this. I heard this on Steve Quayle's program on Friday. He said that Venezuela had taken all of their currency out of the American banks and put it in the European banks. Now, that was Friday. And I believe that he said that it was on Friday that it was done.
Well, have you heard anything at all about that, Ron?
Not specifically. It certainly wouldn't surprise me. I understand Iran is going to a basket of currencies, too, or announced that they're going to. So, yeah, Venezuela, of course, is not too friendly with us anyway, so it wouldn't shock me at all that that's what they're doing.
I haven't heard anything about it, but I think that it's probably going to happen, whether it's sooner or later. And Steve Quayle is usually very accurate in his appraisal of things. So
I'm sure to
understand that we are going to see this increasingly. America is so vulnerable financially. And if you wanted to topple America, and of course Hugo Chavez certainly would like to, as would many of the Arab countries, as would many of the European countries, because of the growing hatred for the United States, and certainly many of the countries in the Middle East, that you're going to see we're going to come under financial attack, and we are most vulnerable from the financial point of view. When you go back and read my newsletters back in the 2001-2002, and we quote Osama bin Laden as saying how vulnerable America is financially. We are vulnerable, and our leaders are doing everything possible to make us more vulnerable.
Well, you know, Stan, this how I see this is, let's say you have a house, and I own the 4x4s that hold it up, it's up on stilts, or I own some of them. Let's say I own 3 of them, and you're using them, and all of a sudden I decide that I want to take those 3 4x4s back, and I come over to the house, and I start taking them out. And you look out the window or out the door, and you realize, you know, the house is shaking. And to me, this is what's happening. This is the undertones or the beginnings of the others that are going to be taking out this money support in our banking system.
And we have put ourselves into a totally untenable position. And I do not believe our leaders are stupid at all. I believe, and I believe this in all sincerity, that they intend to topple and destroy our economic system, to impoverish our people and take us into a cashless society, which of course has biblical overtones, but I don't think you can look at what's going on today without realizing there are spiritual forces that energize the wicked people who are ruling our country today.
Well, thank you for the good program and the education.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Linda. Was there anything you'd like to say in response to Linda, Ron, before we let her go?
Well, you know, I describe what she's saying in a slightly different way, in simple terms. It's like all the creditors of the United States, all around the world, are in a movie theater, and they sniff a little smoke, and they look down at the very front of the auditorium, and they see this one little sign that says exit. Mm-hmm. And every one of them are thinking exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get from here to there without creating a stampede?
Mm-hmm.
All I know is if someone gets up and runs, I'm with them. And that's where we're heading. At some point, the world will see that you better get what you can while you can. There will be a race for the exits, and then they will pull the props out from under our system, like Linda's talking about.
And Linda, our leaders are too smart to have done this inadvertently. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And when this happens, they'll point their finger at Hugo Chavez and at the Arabs and at the Chinese and at the Japanese and say, it's their fault.
Or Hurricane Katrina.
Or Hurricane Katrina, right.
Yeah, that's right. And I agree with you, Dr. Stan. Well, thank you very much.
Well, God bless you. And thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
And our telephone number, once again, we lost David, who was calling from Michigan, but our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for our guest this evening, Ron Brown. And Ron, before I forget, why don't you actually put your telephone number out? I know that you actually have some material, some information you've written up, talking about what's happening financially.
Sure. If anyone would like some free information, just call me at 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
All right, fine. And that's Ron. And he's certainly got some really fascinating treatise that he's written up on what is actually happening to our financial system. And I think it's so vitally important that the American people be educated as the background of a fiat money system. For as Aristotle had said so wisely almost 2,300 years ago, there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as we have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. But then how many people watching our president really believe we have godlike wisdom in the White House today? Well, let's go to Michael, who's calling in from, let's see, we'll have to get him transferred over here. Oh, Michael is calling from Detroit. Hi, Michael, how are you doing? Michael, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're coming through fine.
Okay. I wanted to ask a question to the guest in regards to the actual hoarding of gold. Will that be considered illegal, or in what forms of gold should we try to acquire, or, you know, what forms of actual real wealth?
Well, that's always the big subject of debate. You know, if our nation goes totally down the tubes, you can't put anything past a desperate government, so I'm not going to sit here and say they won't try to confiscate. You have on one hand the numismatic dealers who really push that possibility, because what they want to do is get you to invest in high collector type coins that have a tremendous markup, and they make up 25-30% on their commission on their sales, whereas the bullion dealers would work off of 3%. So whether we'll have a confiscation or not, I find it hard to believe they'll. If they do that, well, things will be so desperate in America that it wouldn't make any difference anyway.
I think that if they try to collect the gold again, I think an awful lot of Americans just are not going to obey the laws. I hate to say that, but when you have a corrupt government, why, of course, you get corrupted people. Anything else, Michael?
That also leads me to ask the question of real estate. How could we acquire real property if we're going to, I know if they can't confiscate items such as gold and jewelry and diamonds and things like that.
Of course, they can confiscate property too. That's the problem we have. When government gets out of control, it can take whatever you have. It can take your property, it can take your gold, it can take your life.
Well, in fact, if you look at real estate now, because of the massive loaning and mortgage debt, probably 80-90% of the value of all real estate is debt. It's a mortgage.
I think right now real estate is way overpriced.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. And thanks for calling, Mike. And let's go to Craig, who's calling from, of all places, Detroit.
Yeah,
hey, how are you doing, Craig?
The thing about Detroit is I'm not sure. But am I looking at it the wrong way, or do I see something like a fascist-type regime coming up in the United States?
Well, what do you think, though, Ron? Do you think we're moving towards fascism?
Well, okay, we get the National Guard out of the country. Now, when I was a kid, when I was coming up, the National Guard was to protect, protect our country. And also, the Coast Guard somewhat, but the Coast Guard is like a weak, not as strong as the National Guard, I thought. But now the National Guard is out of the picture because they're overseas, and we have what amounts to the Black Boots, the Homeland Security. And the Homeland Security, I'm real curious about this because I think I recognize one because I stay near a border. I stay near Windsor. And I saw somebody who was definitely military. They had to be military. They had black boots. They had a big gun on them. I don't know.
Now, where was this? Were you in the National Guard or what?
No, but you can recognize the military
pretty.
This guy wasn't a security guard, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you what, down in New Orleans, they not only brought in the regular army, they brought in mercenaries. They work for Blackstone, I think it is, Blackstone. There are 20,000 mercenaries, paid killers over there in Iraq that we've hired. They have no loyalty to anybody. In fact, some of them are from America, some of them are from foreign countries, sort of like a French Foreign Legion over, but very well paid. What is really frightening is they brought them into New Orleans, and the president said, we've got to repeal the Posse Comitatus laws so that in case there's another emergency, why the government can bring in the military immediately. Pentagon officials have said that's not our job. We're not trained for emergencies. We're trained for combat.
Exactly.
But the president wants people who are trained for combat to be taking control of our cities. I think that's frightening. I would believe that myself that is grounds for impeachment of the president, and yet that is exactly what the plan is. He said that not only last week, he said that again this morning. In case we should have a major flu or avian flu epidemic here in America, and we have to quarantine people, we've got to be able to quarantine sections of the country, and we've got to be able to bring in the military. Ron, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you can track it for the last 15, 20 years. Every time there's an event, whether it was Ruby Ridge or Waco, then Oklahoma City, then Flight 800, then 9/11, and now New Orleans, every event is an excuse for the government to come in with a bill to create more and more concentrated power in the federal government. So we're heading towards a period of fascism, just like the
And, Craig, basically the definition of fascism is corporate socialism, and that's exactly where we're
headed.
With a partnership between government and corporations.
Right.
And the corporations really buy and sell the politicians. We've got in Washington, D.C. today the finest politicians money can buy.
And the thing about it, a lot of people, you know, they try to say that, you know, we went into Iraq for the oil. Like, that's the underlying thing. It's the oil. But it's not really, I don't think it's the oil. It's like Halliburton and, you know, I think it's all about money.
Well, I think it's a lot more than that. If you have a chance, do you have access to a computer, Craig?
I have access, but I don't have one now.
Get somebody to pull down my newsletters, my last two newsletters. That would be the August and September newsletters, and read them. It'll give you, I think, a lot better view of why we're really there. They've never told the American people why we're really in the Middle East. There are lots of reasons. Yes, for profit, for Halliburton and Bechtel and Floor and Dick Cheney, who's still getting a salary from Halliburton. Some people might think that would be illegal, but, of course, when you're the vice president, who's going to say what you're doing is illegal?
When you're acting president and a vice president is then, you know. Yeah. But you know what else kind of confounded me? I don't know why, but you were blacked out. I couldn't listen to you for about almost 2 weeks.
Well, that wasn't a conspiracy. They were doing work on the power, but
we're
back up there now. Keep right on working. Listen, God bless you. Good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Ed calling from Idaho. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Good. Formerly from Detroit. Beans, how you have all the Detroiters on. I am formerly from Detroit.
Okay, fine.
At any rate, I believe the word that you were alluding to, you said fascism. The new word for fascism is corporatocracy.
All right, I think that's a very good word. That's one that was coined by John Perkins in his book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And we do carry the book. We carry a four-tape set of interviews with John Perkins, who coined that word, the corporatocracy. Hey, Ed, hang on for just a minute. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and we'll talk to you during the break, okay?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Ron Brown. And Ron, do you have any comment on what Ed was saying? He thinks that instead of calling it fascism, we ought to call it the corporatocracy.
Well, I couldn't. It means the same thing, but
right.
That's exactly what's happening. If you think about it, the plunge protection team and all the ways that they keep this thing propped up is with elitism in the corporate structure, because they're part of and the banking system that keeps this system from collapsing totally. So, yeah, they're working in concert to hold this thing off, and then, of course, they know exactly where it's going eventually. So.
And they really know exactly what they're doing. In fact, we have a speech that I pulled off the Internet by James Wolfensohn, who was head of the World Bank, speaking at the 90th birthday of David Rockefeller, talking to the Council on Foreign Relations, saying, I mean, who would run the world if we weren't running it? The world needs to be run, and that's what we're doing, is running the world. They're open and blatant about running the world. These people of great wealth, and fabulous power. And so we do really have a corporatocracy that works with the intelligence agencies and the banks and is impoverishing the rest of the world. But I believe that there is always a blowback to every action. There's an equal and opposite reaction, and I fear that we are one day, of course, to come under the same judgment and the same punishment that we've meted out to these people in the other countries. Anything else you wanted to say, Ed, before we let you go?
Yes, I do. The reason I called was I'm concerned, even though I believe that gold and silver is a valuable possession to have and necessary, if they can take your house, if they can take your firearms, nothing certainly is going to stop them from taking your gold and silver.
Right. And I think the one thing, Ed, is you're going to have to finally put your faith in the Lord. We're going to make all the preparations we can, but remember, the only real protection you may have if things really get bad is the protection of the Lord.
Full time, all the time.
God bless.
God bless. Bye.
Okay, fine. Let's go quickly to Lisa, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Lisa. Just about the end of the program. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'll just make it quick. Living in Santa Cruz with these inflated prices in real estate, do you think that we're on a bubble and that there's going to be some sort of leveling in the prices? Or will is it still considered a good investment, or would you advise somebody not to get into this market?
Well, I would suggest run for the covers. I would not be in this market at all. Ron, your thought?
Absolutely. This is a bubble that has been kept together with just funny money, trying to keep the whole system from collapsing. And what really tells me that it's going to collapse, and it's not going to be just a drop back. 30% of all home sales now are not even by homeowners or by home buyers. They're by speculators.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment, Ron, as we bring our stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening has been Ron Brown. And, of course, Lisa has just called in and asked what we thought about property here in the Santa Cruz area where I live. And I said I thought it was a rotten investment. You know, if you own your home, fine, but certainly don't be speculating and don't be buying now. Rent, I think prices are going to come down. I hope I'm right. Anything else, Lisa?
And just real quickly, besides gold and silver, what else would Ron suggest you invest in?
What else would you suggest to invest in, Ron?
Some gold and silver shares, energy shares, commodities. We're going into a commodity bull market, and financial assets or financial investments are the ones, they've had their peak and now they're going down. So I would be getting into anything that has to do with commodities, energy, and so forth.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. Good night. God bless. Ron, get your telephone number out one more time before we let you go.
That's 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
And of course, Ron has some interesting information he'll send you just so you can have an overview of what's happening. Ron Brown, thanks so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you as a guest.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and so this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we always, of course, look forward to hearing from you. If you believe, as I do, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on the political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, we do hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you do that simply by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, we'd be more than happy to send it to you. I would suggest, if you want to know why we are at war in Iraq, my August newsletter would be glad to send you one free of charge. If you'd like to understand who really runs America, let me suggest on my June newsletter, The Occult Hierarchy Part 2. Now, you can get all of these on the Internet, and if you have access to it, please get it there, because it's an expensive thing to spend out the things. We'll be glad to send it to you, but if you can go on the Internet to RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com, and look on my newsletters. They're all posted there. And then, of course, you can listen to our Internet programs 5 hours a day. Our job is to get you informed and prepared for what lies ahead, because I think very difficult times lie ahead, and we're encouraging you to make all sorts of preparations. Prepare for your health. Prepare to protect yourself. Prepare so that you'll have food and water for your family and medical supplies on hand. And the advice from the last hour from Bill Sardi, I think, was really very, very good. You need to know the various remedies that have been used for thousands of years to fight disease, and some of these were really very, very effective. And today, as we face the possibility of new diseases that are being created for mass extermination. That is, of course, the words mass killing, the words of Dr. MacArthur that he used testifying before the House Appropriations Committee in July of 1969. We really have people in our own government who are creating new diseases for mass extermination. Well, we're out of time. Remember our all-day seminar on the 19th of November. You'll have to call for reservations. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until, well, we're together again, may the Lord be with you. And if you really want to understand what's going on, you must understand that poem Locksley Hall, written in 1842 by Alfred Lord Tennyson, who wrote this: "For I dipped into the future, far as any eye could see, saw a vision of the world and all the wonders that would be, heard the heavens filled with shouting and the rain to ghastly dew, of the nation's airy navies grappling in the central blue, till the war drums throbbed no longer and the battle flags were furled in the Parliament of Man, the Federation of the World." And that's what it's all about, the Parliament of Man, the Federation of the World, the one world government that's coming. And, of course, if you believe, as I do, that this is a spiritual battle, this will be the one world government, the Antichrist, where you neither buy nor sell unless you wear the mark of the beast, so it will be known by the number of his name.